of the main purposes of the UDRP is to provide a quick, cheap, and easy means to adjudicate domain name disputes between trademark holders and bad faith registrants of domain names, whereas litigation of a domain name dispute in court can be protracted and in some cases prohibitively expensive. Resolution of disputes under the UDRP takes only 45 days and can cost as little as $750. Further, by providing a uniform set of guidelines, the UDRP mitigates the jurisdictional and jurisprudential problems that may accompany international prosecution of a complaint. With advice for quickness and ease of use, the UDRP procedures for filing and responding to a complaint are accordingly streamlined and straightforward. Moreover, the legal counsel may be helpful, in particular with respect to the substantive intellectual property rights at stake. The procedure for filing a complaint and response were designed so that they may be used without legal assistance. What follows is a step-by-step guide to preparing a complaint and response. The goal of this section is to provide the practitioner, or the pro se filer, with a general feel for the filing procedure. Please note that in addition to the general UDRP rules governing the filing and administration of a complaint, each of the three ICANN-approved providers has its own supplemental rules, all of which include strict page limits and payment schedules. Before filing a complaint, the complainant should consult its chosen provider's supplemental rules to be certain that the complaint is in full compliance. Failure to comply with either the general UDRP rules or the provider's supplemental rules may result in a dismissal of the complaint under Rules 4, A, and D. Let's take a look at the timeline for a general UDRP proceeding. Day 0, the complainant files a complaint with the provider of his choice and sends a copy to the respondent at the address shown in the registrar's WHOIS database. At this point, the provider reviews the complaint for compliance with the UDRP rules and the provider's own supplemental rules. If the complaint is in compliance, the proceeding continues. If the complaint is deficient, the complainant has 5 days to remedy the deficiencies if the complaint will be deemed withdrawn. Day 3. By this time, the provider must send a copy of the complaint to the registrar of the domain name in question and an official copy to the respondent, at which point the proceeding has officially begun. Day 23. Within 20 calendar days of the formal commencement of the administrative proceeding, the respondent must respond specifically to the allegations in the complaint and offer any basis for the retention of the domain name. The respondent will be deemed to have defaulted if no response is filed within this 20-day window. Day 28. After the receipt of the respondent's response to the complaint, the provider has 5 days to appoint a panel. Day 42. The decision will be rendered within 14 days of the panel's appointment. Day 45, the panel has 3 days to notify the parties of its decision. 10 business days later, unless the adversely affected domain name holder has filed suit in the court of mutual jurisdiction by this date, the registrar will implement the decision of the panel, canceling or transferring the domain name according to the remedy sought in the complaint. Follows is a step-by-step guide to filing a complaint. Step 1. Submit the complaint in hard copy and accept to the extent not available for attachments by email, requesting that the complaint be submitted for a decision in accordance with the UDRP. Step 2. Provide the name, postal, and email addresses and telephone and fax numbers of the complainant and any representative authorized to act for the complainant in the proceeding. Step 3. Specify the preferred means of communication with the complainant, specifically stating the person to be contacted, the medium for contact, and the address information. Both postal and electronic mail addresses must be provided. Step 4. Designate whether the complainant elects to have the dispute decided by a single-member panel or a three-member panel. If a single-member panel is elected, the provider will choose the panelist. If electing a three-member panel, provide the names and contact details of three candidates to serve as one of the panelists. These candidates may be drawn from any ICANN-approved provider's list of panelists and need not be limited to the provider chosen. The provider will then attempt to choose one candidate from this list. The second panelist will be chosen from the respondent's list of the three candidates. Finally, the third panelist will be chosen by the provider, balancing the preferences of each party. If the nominees cannot serve, then the host provider may pick a substitute. Step 5. Provide the name of the respondent. Include the postal address, the email address, the telephone and fax numbers, and any other information which will allow the provider to send the complaint and provide notice to the respondent. 6. Specify the domain name that is the subject of the complaint. More than one domain name may be included, provided that the additional names are registered by the same domain name holder. Step 7. Identify the registrars with whom the domain names are registered. Step 8. Specify the trademark or service marks on which the complaint is based. Describe the goods or services, if any, with which the mark is associated. The complaint may also describe other goods or services which it intends, at the time the complaint is submitted, to use the mark in the future. Step 9. Describe the grounds on which the complaint is made. In particular, the complainant must describe 1. The manner in which the domain names are identical or confusingly similar to the trademark or service mark in which the complainant has rights. And 2. Why the respondent should be considered as having no rights or legitimate interests in respect of the domain names that are the subject of the complaint. And finally, 3. Why the domain name should be considered as having been registered and is being used in bad faith. The requirement here is a conjunctive one. The complainant must allege all three grounds in order to seek relief under the UDRP. These grounds are not coextensive with the elements of bad faith, however. Rather, they speak to ICANN's intention for the UDRP to apply only to those disputes in which the above-mentioned grounds for relief are present. Elements 2 and 3 address the respondent's bad faith specifically, and the description should include a discussion of any aspects of Sections 4, B, and C of the policy that are applicable. The description should comply with any word or page limit set forth in the provider's supplemental rules. Step 10. Specify the remedies sought. Note that there are only two remedies available under the UDRP, cancellation of the domain name or transfer of the domain name registration to the complainant. There is no provision for fines or punitive damages. The remedies need not be the same for all the domain names in question. Step 11. Identify any other legal proceedings that have been commenced or terminated in connection with or relating to any of the domain names that are the subject of this complaint. Step 12. State that a copy of the complaint, together with the cover sheet as prescribed by the provider's supplemental rules, has been sent or transmitted to the respondent in accordance with Rule 2B, which requires that in the absence of a stated preference by the party, written communication will be sent by telecopy or fax with a confirmation of transmission, or 2, by postal or courier service, postage prepaid, return receipt requested, or 3, electronically via the Internet, provided a record of its transmission is available. Step 13. State that the complainant will submit, with respect to any challenges to a decision in the administrative proceeding canceling or transferring the domain name, to the jurisdiction of the court in at least one specified mutual jurisdiction. Mutual jurisdiction is defined as, quote, a court jurisdiction is the location of either the principal office of the registrar, provided the domain name holder is submitted in its registration agreement to that jurisdiction for court adjudication of disputes concerning or arising out of the use of the domain name, or the domain name holder's address is shown for registration of the domain name in the registrar's Who Is database at the time the complaint is submitted to the provider. Step 14. Conclude with the following statement, followed by the signature of the complainant or its authorized representative. Quote, complainant agrees that its claims and remedies concerning the registration of the domain name, the dispute, or the dispute's resolution shall be solely against the domain name holder and waives all such claims and remedies against A, the dispute resolution provider and panelists, except in the case of deliberate wrongdoing, B, the registrar, C, the registry administrator, and D, ICANN, as well as their directors, officers, employees, and agents. Complainant also certifies that the information contained in this complaint is to the best complainant's knowledge complete and accurate, that this complaint is not being presented for any improper purpose, such as to harass, and that the assertions in this complaint are warranted under these rules and under applicable law, as it now exists, or as it may be extended by good faith and reasonable argument. Step 15. Attach any documents or other evidence, including a copy of the registrar's dispute policy applicable to the domain names in dispute, and any trademark or service mark registration upon which the complaint relies, together with a table of contents indexing such evidence. Step 16. Pay the appropriate fees within the time required, stipulated in the provider's supplemental rules. We'll now move on to the process for filing a response. By far the most important procedural element of the response is its timing. Rule 5A requires that a proper response be submitted to the provider within 20 calendar days of the commencement of an administrative proceeding. For timing purposes, the formal administrative proceeding begins when the complaint has been found non-deficient, payment has been made by the complainant, and the provider has formally notified the respondent. Failure to submit a proper response within 20 days will be deemed a default by the respondent. The consequences of late filing can be devastating. First, the panel is under no obligation to view a late filed response, though it has the discretion to do so under exceptional circumstances, and it may make its decisions in the absence of any response. Second, Second, the provider is not required to honor a respondent's election of a 3-member panel if filed late. Third, the provider need not consider the respondent's designations as to the candidates for the 3-member panel should one be elected. And fourth, the provider need not honor the respondent's preferred means of communication. In short, if a party wishes to defend itself and stand any chance of retaining its domain name, it must file a proper response within the allotted time period. Step 1. The response should be submitted in both hard copy and except to the extent not available for attachments by email. It must respond specifically to the statements and allegations contained in the complaint and include any and all bases for the respondent to retain registration and use of the disputed domain name. Be sure that this portion of the response complies with the word and page limit set forth in the provider's supplemental rules. Any of the following circumstances, if found to be proven by the response and evidence provided, will demonstrate rights and legitimate interest in the domain name sufficient to bar transfer or cancellation of the domain name under the UDRP. 1. Before any notice to the respondent of the dispute, the respondent's use of or demonstrable preparations to use the domain name or name corresponding to the domain name in connection with the bona fide offering of goods and services. Or 2. The respondent, as an individual, business, or other organization, has been commonly known by their domain name, even if the respondent has acquired no trademark or service mark rights. Or 3. The respondent is making a legitimate non-commercial or fair use of the domain name without intent for commercial gain to misleadingly divert consumers or to tarnish the trademark or service mark at issue. The respondent should note that this is a list of only those defenses specifically enumerated in the UDRP. Other defenses may prove successful and should certainly be tendered if likely to prove that the domain name owner had rights or legitimate interest in the domain name. Step 2. Provide the name, postal and email addresses, and telephone and fax numbers of the respondent and of any representative authorized to act for the respondent in the administrative proceeding. Step 3. Specify a preferred method of communication for correspondence directed at the respondent during the administrative proceeding. The respondent should specify the name of the person to be contacted, the medium for communications, and all of the relevant address information for both electronic-only material and material including hard copy. Step 4. If the complainant has elected a single-member panel, say whether the respondent elects instead to have the dispute decided by a 3-member panel. If and only if the respondent elects a 3-member panel over the complainant's election of a single-member panel, the respondent must pay one-half of the fees for the panel. If the respondent is content with the complainant's election of a single-member panel, or the complainant alone has requested a 3-member panel, the complainant is responsible for paying the administrative fees in their entirety. 5. If either the complainant or the respondent elects a 3-member panel, each may provide the names and contact details of 3 candidates to serve as one of the panelists. The candidates may be drawn from any ICANN-approved provider's list of panelists and need not be limited to those panelists affiliated with the host provider. The provider will make every attempt to appoint one of these candidates to the panel within 5 days. But if none of the party's choices are available, the host provider will select a candidate independently. Step 6. Identify any other legal proceedings that have been commenced or terminated in connection with or relating to the domain names that have been the subject of the complaint. Step 7. State that a copy of the response has been sent or transmitted to the complainant in accordance with Rule 2B, which requires that a party honor the other's preferred means of communication. Step 8. Conclude with the following statement, followed by the signature of the respondent or its authorized representative. Quote, respondent certifies that the information contained in this response is to the best of respondent's knowledge complete and accurate, that this response is not being presented for any improper purpose, such as to harass, that the assertions in this response are warranted under these rules and under applicable law, as it now exists or as it may be extended by good faith and reasonable argument. Step 9. Attach any documentary or other evidence upon which the respondent relies, together with the table of contents indexing such documents. Now we'll move on to the issue of fees and fines under the UDRP. In most cases, the complainant bears the duty to pay all fees associated with the administrative proceeding. The UDRP does not provide for recovery of fees from the losing party. Only when the complainant elects a 1-member panel and the respondent requests to expand the panel to 3 does the respondent incur any obligation to pay, in which case the respondent and complainant split the fees evenly. If the complainant elects a 3-member panel on its own initiative, it bears the full cost of the proceeding. As for fines, the UDRP does not authorize providers to levy fines under any circumstances, even for so-called reverse domain name hijacking by the complainant. If after considering submissions, the panel finds that the complaint is brought in bad faith or is brought primarily to harass the domain name holder, the panel shall declare in its decision that the complaint was brought in bad faith and constitutes an abuse of the administrative proceeding. Now we'll move on to the implementation of remedies and the right to litigate. The only remedies available under the UDRP are cancellation of the infringing domain name or transfer of its registration to the trademark holder. Upon the conclusion of the proceeding, the panel has 3 days to inform the registrar of its decision, which the registrar is bound to implement pursuant to both the ICANN Registration Accreditation Agreement and the UDRP. Before implementing the decision, however, the registrar is required to wait 10 business days in order to give the adversely affected registrant the opportunity to file a complaint in the court of mutual jurisdiction. If such an action is brought by the domain name holder, the registrar may not transfer or cancel the name until the conclusion of that suit. In order to block the transfer or cancellation of the domain name, then, while the challenge is pending, the domain name holder must provide official documentation, for example, a copy of the complaint file stamped by the clerk of the court, to the registrar within the 10-day window. Because the UDRP exists against the backdrop of traditional trademark law, it's important to note that pursuing a claim under the UDRP does not prevent either party from pursuing traditional avenues of litigation or arbitration. The UDRP is not exclusive, and the dispute can be submitted to a court prior to a UDRP decision or after the proceeding has been concluded. However, the consequences of submitting the dispute to a court in the midst of a UDRP proceeding are unclear. The rules merely state that in cases where a court action is pending, quote, the panel shall have the discretion to decide whether to suspend or terminate the administrative proceeding or to proceed to decision, end quote. Given the newness of the policy, it remains to be seen just how much deference either UDRP panels are willing to give foreign or domestic judicial proceedings, or how those courts will treat the decision of a UDRP panel. In any event, before filing under the UDRP, the trademark holder should consider the consequences of agreeing to submit to a court of mutual jurisdiction, as any challenge to the panel's decision can be brought in either the jurisdiction of the registrar or the domain name holder, even if the holder may be subject to personal jurisdiction in the jurisdiction of the trademark owner. Some commentators have questioned the parity of the challenge process, which gives losing registrants only 10 days to file a complaint in a proper court. It places no corresponding time restriction on a complainant's ability to seek judicial action. Specifically, some question whether 10 business days is enough time for the losing registrant to obtain counsel and file a complaint in an appropriate court. Though the liberal pleading rules of the federal courts in the United States and in most European countries offer some support for the viability of this 10-day window, the question remains as to whether stricter pleading requirements in some countries could mean that a registrant might lose his or her domain name without an opportunity for a day in court. As University of Miami law professor Michael Frumkin points out, the UDRP puts all nationals of such countries to an unreasonable choice. They must either give up their home form by registering with a foreign registrar or do a great deal of advanced legal work before they even know the result of the arbitration if they want to have a meaningful chance of appeal. The same does not apply to a losing challenger who can wait as long as he likes before trying for a second bite at the legal apple, subject only to latches or the statute of limitations. In this next section, we'll discuss how to search for domain name holders and bulk registrants. In order to file a complaint under the UDRP, the trademark holder must provide the name and contact information of the registrant of the domain names in question. What follows is a guide on how to search for this information, particularly in cases where the registrant in question has registered multiple domain names. Bulk registration of domain names is one of the hallmarks of cyber squatting and is accordingly listed as one of the enumerated circumstances evidencing bad faith under the UDRP. Paragraph 4b2 of the policy states that the evidence of bad faith exists where the domain name was registered, quote, in order to prevent the owner of the trademark or service mark from reflecting the mark in a corresponding domain name, provided that the registrant has engaged in a pattern of such conduct. But how can one determine whether such a pattern exists? Unfortunately, the process for discovering this pattern is not as simple as one might hope. An authoritative identification of even a single domain name owner may require a two-step process. First, one has to go to the official Internic Registry Database or the NSI Registry Database and do a whois search for a given domain name, for example, harvard.edu. If the domain name has been registered, this initial search reveals the registrar of the domain name, Network Solutions, but not the official registrant, Harvard University. For the name and contact information of individual registrant, we must take a second step by going to the separate website of the registrar identified in the first search, either the Network Solutions Registrar database or one of its now many competitors, and do a second whois search there. The second step reveals the required contact information about the domain name holder. Recently, many of the registrars, as well as several independent sites, have designed software that conflates the two steps into one, allowing anyone to find out the registrant's contact information by just entering the domain name. See, for example, register.com's Check It feature, www.youwhois.com, and www.domania.org. However, trademark holders wishing to find out whether a single party has registered multiple domain names are still in the bind. Most of these search engines currently allow searching by domain name, but not by the name of the individual registrant. If the trademark holder already knows what those domain names are, perhaps because they're being auctioned on an internet auction site or because the registrant has offered to sell them directly to the trademark holder, then the complainant should have no trouble getting the contact information, either from the above search engines or through the whois search feature of the domain name registrars. But if, as is quite likely in the case of cyber squatting, the trademark holder does not know either the extent of the bad faith registration or the various names or entities under which the cyber squatter may have registered the domain names, there is little in the way of search mechanisms at his or her disposal. At the moment, the most useful of these is the whois search function on the Network Solutions Registrar database, which is separate from the NSI Registry database. This allows the trademark holder, or anyone interested in learning how many names someone has registered, to search by a number of criteria, including name, company name, administrative contact or agent, and name server. However, there are currently two limitations on the usefulness of this search. First, when searching by criteria other than the domain name, the search is limited to those names registered through the Network Solutions Registrar. Now, this is currently the largest such database. The search will not turn up names registered through the other registrars. Keeping in mind that the competition was introduced into the domain name registration industry only last November, as the industry develops, a search only through Network Solutions may not turn up all of the names for a given registrant. This problem is made more acute now that some competing registrars have specially reduced rates for bulk registration, dropping the price to as low as $10 per domain name per year when registering over 2,000 domain names. For example, go to www.bulkregister.com or to www.bulknames.com, the latter of which touts, "There's never been an easier way to register 300 or more domain names." The second limitation is the Network Solutions limits the search to 50 results. While 50 bad faith registrations is likely to constitute a pattern under any circumstances, there's no guarantee that the first 50 results are going to demonstrate bad faith by one particular person. Results are not necessarily in alphabetical order, and the targeted cyber squatter may not be revealed in the first 50 hits, especially if the name is a common one. Also, a cyber squatter might register his name in slight variations, for example, John Smith, J. Smith, Smith Productions, and so on, and one would need to check other contact data to determine if there is a connection. To overcome some of these limitations, Network Solutions offers a more extensive search known as the Domain Record Retrieval Service, which searches the Network Solutions Registrar database for matches to the criteria the customer provides. The searching party should note, however, that the search covers only the database of the NSI Registrar, not the more extensive database of the NSI Registry, so that any search conducted through the service will not yield information on domains registered through other ICANN-approved registrars. The $200 fee for the service covers one character string only. For more information, contact the Network Solutions Business Affairs Office. The fate of these search limitations and the future access to registration information is unclear. It remains to be seen whether ICANN will allow the current state of affairs to continue, in which a majority of the registrars provide a whois search allowing searches only by domain, not by registrant or other criteria. Though providing a search by registrant is obviously useful to parties seeking relief under the UDRP, one should also consider the countervailing privacy concerns stemming from the requirement that so much personal information be so publicly accessible. United States.